Coleman back in. I formation. 30-yard line of the Giants. Third and one. The pitch out to Coleman over the right tackle. Got a block. He's on the 25. He's on the 20. They're chasing him to the number 15. He angles to the tight end. The 5. He's down and touchdown. Running to the far sideline with a great burst was Tevin Coleman.
Monday Night Football. It was the Falcons knocking off the New York Giants. Giants now 1-6 on the season. Falcons prove the 3-4. Falcons win 23-20. Interesting game. Giants went for 2. Late in the fourth quarter, down 20-12, did not get the two-point conversion. Falcons go down, kick a field goal. Giants come down, they get a touchdown, go for two, and get it. So really, it negates the whole point of him going for it before, but the media wanted to keep dwelling on that. And so they got their 2 points. Had they not got the second two-point conversion, to me, that's more of a controversy. But, you know, he had... If you get two-point conversion and you try it every single time and you get it half the time, that's the same equivalent of making your extra points. It's simple. It's simple math. But some people in the media don't quite catch on to that. Mm. Was it a curious move for him at the time to go for two? Yes. But they got the two and the touchdown later when they're down 11 to cut it to 3. But they really, the thing that you really have to question is running two quarterback sneaks.
Yes.
With under a minute to play at the goal line trying to get in. To get that touchdown before the two-point conversion to where you're left with 5 seconds on an onside kick. So that's the bigger question you got to ask. And Eli Manning should know better than that. And I think he's the one that, you know, made those decisions on the fly. And he's a 37-year-old veteran. So that's the bigger issue to me if you're a Giants fan, not the going for two when it's 20-12 because you got the two later on. It's the two quarterback sneaks when you have no timeouts. And you're down 11, you need to score as quickly as you can. You got to clock it, throw the ball into the ground, throw a quick fade, it's incomplete, whatever it may be. But you cannot afford to run. And it wasn't just one quarterback sneak. They ran two. That's what really made it crazy.
I was surprised at the first one.
Yeah.
Then when he stepped up to the line, I thought, okay, we're either going to see a quick fade here or a slant or they're going to clock it. And then he tried to sneak it again. I'm like, you've got to be kidding
me. And didn't get any other time.
You're out of time now, man. It doesn't matter what you do. They scored on the next play, but it was over at that point.
5 seconds were left. You just had an onside kick, and your odds aren't good. And once again, even if they would have scored on the first quarterback sneak, been about 50 seconds left in the game with no timeouts, odds are they're not going to get the onside kick. Only two teams have gotten an onside kick this year. With new rules, it's harder to get an onside kick. But the Giants are one of those two teams that had executed an onside kick this year. So an interesting night of Monday Night Football, and it was the Giants losing to the Falcons 23-20. Local sports information, Rock Hill senior Zane Colson has been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Colson has done a majority of the heavy lifting for the Rock Hills Grizzlies on their way to an 8-man Division II District 4 championship on the football field. In Friday night's 34-12 district championship win over St. John's Tipton, Colson carried the ball 47 times for 310 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 2 PATs. He also had 20 tackles, a tackle for a loss, and a fumble recovery on defense. Gee, what a slacker. Colson's numbers in the last 3 games have been nothing short of eye-popping. He's run for 883 yards on 85 carries. That's an average of 10 yards a carry, which means every time he carries it, he averages a first down. That's not bad. He also has 13 rushing touchdowns in the past 3 weeks. Included in that was a career-high 339 yards and 5 touchdowns in Rock Hill's 48-0 win over Southern Cloud. On the season, he's rushed for 1,264 yards and 19 touchdowns. And the last 2 weeks alone on defense, Colson has registered 46 tackles and 6 tackles for loss. He leads the Grizzlies with 105 tackles and 17 tackles for loss this season, which is really impressive considering that Rock Hills, most of the time, they don't play a full game. So apparently, Colson's making most of the tackles. It's pretty impressive. Zane Colson, our Athlete of the Week, brought to you by NCKSSports.com and Cunningham Telephone and Cable. Before we get to the Chiefs and talk about why this year is different for the Chiefs, we have lots of high school sports coverage for you this week. We have Wednesday night locker room chats with our football coaches at Beloit Osborne Smith Center and Lincoln Thunder Ridge at 5:15. Thursday, St. John's Tipton Lakeside Rock Hill Sylvan Lucas. We're going to have to stream those and put those on our podcast center online for you to go listen to at your leisure, because we have Thursday night and Friday night high school playoff football. Thursday night, we have the Express at 4:30. And then we'll have pregame at 5:30. Actually, the Express will be about 4:45, 4:40 or 4:45, I should say. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock kick, Donovan West at Rock Hills. on Z96.3 Lake, on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com. Osborne will be hosting Tri-Plains Brewster. Once again, both those games are at 6 o'clock. Then we'll have the local high school scoreboard show coming to you at 10:05, brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Coming up on Thursday night, we're still working out all the details and all that. We'll figure it out. And then Friday, we've got high school volleyball for you, and we're working out all the details with that. I can tell you that the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays volleyball matches will be on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. They play at 10, noon, and 3 approximately. And then the Beloit girls will be playing on Z96.3 The Lake at 4:30, 6:30, and 8:30 from Hutchison. And we have Beloit at Hugoton football. That'll be on KD Country 94. The Beloit football game against Hugoton Friday with pregame at 5:30 and kickoff at 6 o'clock. So once again, St. John's Tipton girls volleyball on KD Country 94. Beloit girls volleyball, Trojan volleyball on Z96.3. Beloit Trojan football Friday on KD Country 94. And then if Beloit and St. John's Tipton move on to the next day on Saturday, all their volleyball matches will be on KD Country 94 because we'll have KU football on Z96.3 The Lake. So a very busy week, and as I said earlier today on the show, there's nobody in this area that covers as much sports as we do, and if that has never been proven before, it's proven this week. And on top of it all, Smith Center made state volleyball, and we usually cover them, and we can't. We don't have people, enough people. We're spread thin just trying to do what we're trying to do because Keisha's changed things with football, and then having just one tournament in Emporia for state volleyball, putting 2A out at Hayes, moving 3A to Hutch, and then, of course, having high school football on Friday night instead of what used to be Thursday night for Beloit makes it very, very difficult for us to try to cover everything, and we are doing our best to cover it all, and we should have everything on the air. There might be a situation where there might be one volleyball match we might have to get updates on. We don't know yet. We're trying to work it all out. So we will do our best. And if anybody calls up going, well, why didn't you have this one match on? Or why did you join this one a little bit late? It's because we got all this stuff we're trying to do. Appreciate what we are getting on and what we are trying to do. And we will do our best to do it. So we're going to put a lot of miles on the cars this week.
Yeah.
And
there's no doubt about
that. Sleep either.
That's already started for me.
Yeah, yeah, it's already beginning.
People don't understand the part and preparation for all that. So
we start prepping as early as the day after the previous game. So yeah, we got a lot of work to do this week. So we hope that folks appreciate all that coverage, and of course, updated scores, standing schedules, and much more is available to you as well at nckssports.com. Anything else local? I went over Zane Colson.
Yeah, I think you covered it all.
Impressive. Yeah. All right. So it is irritating and annoying to me, but that's what rival fans do, and that is Bronco fans. All right? Bronco fans, listen, I love this. The Chiefs are doing so well, and all Bronco fans can do is immediately try to put your team down. And you know what? In fairness, Chiefs fans, I'm sure, try to do the same thing the Bronco fans when they're doing well. Okay, I get it. It works both ways. But let's deal with the situation, which is now. The Chiefs are 6-1, and they blew out the Bengals Sunday Night Football. It wasn't even close. And the Chiefs defense played well. And if the Chiefs defense plays well, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Okay, just mark it down. As long as the Chiefs stay healthy, there's a big if, stay healthy, and their defense plays like it did Sunday night, they will be in the Super Bowl. Now, my thing is, I don't think the defense can play like that, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to make the Super Bowl. So for you Bronco fans out there starting to go, oh, God, here goes Wade bragging about the Chiefs. No. I am not picking the Chiefs to make the Super Bowl. I'm not. Okay? I think they can make it if they have home field advantage in the playoffs. And I hesitate to say that because the Chiefs have had home field advantage in the playoffs many years. And have done nothing with it. But why is this year different for the Chiefs? I'll give you a conversation I had with a Bronco fan that Dusty, I, and Chad know. And I said, hey, go Chiefs. And he's a Bronco fan, and he immediately goes, oh, yeah, another meaningless win in October. I'm like, well, wait a minute. It was winning us meaningless game in September. So now we're sliding in and changing the word to October. And I said, yeah, but this year's different. I said, we have Mahomes. And he just kind of rolled his eyes. And we technically won't know if he's right or I'm right until the Chiefs get in the playoffs and win a playoff game. Because to me, that's what this is about. This is the Chiefs winning a playoff game at home. That's all this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Bronco fan out there will probably try to conveniently change the argument that when the Chiefs win the first game in the playoffs, the divisional round, and they make it the AFC title game, and then they lose, say, the Patriots or Steelers at Arrowhead in the AFC title game, that Bronco fan will say, well, see, all those games in October and September are meaningless. No, no, no. What you're implying is that the Chiefs implode and can't get anything done in the playoffs, but if they win the divisional round at home against whoever it is and make it to the AFC championship game, your argument doesn't apply, okay, because they didn't choke in the playoffs. I guess unless they make the AFC title game and they're up 38-10 and lose the AFC title game 45-44 like they did against the Colts in a wild card game a few years back, then I would understand it. But if the Chiefs go in against the Patriots or the Steelers at Arrowhead in the AFC title game, and it's a pick'em basically, and the Chiefs are a three-point favorite because they're at home, and Bronco fans, the Chiefs lose on a last-second field goal, and Bronco fans want to say, well, see, that's all those games are meaningless back in September, October. They would have already won a playoff game at home. So the Bronco argument, the fans' argument for the Bronco perspective, does carry weight based on the history of the Chiefs. It also carries weight if the Chiefs lose their first playoff game this season at home. If they do not win a game in the playoffs and the game is at home and they lose, or even if it's on the road, which right now it looks like the Chiefs will be at home for the first round of the playoffs, then that argument will continue to carry weight and Broncos fans can continue to use it into next year. Okay? I get that. But Bronco fans don't take the time to stop and think about why did they win the Super Bowls in the 90s and their most recent one? Let's think about that for a second. Okay.
Not that hard.
It's not that hard, but I want
to... The last one's a little bit different, but it's not that hard to figure out.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was the quarterback when the Broncos beat the Packers for the Super Bowl?
John Elway.
John Elway. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Who was the Chiefs quarterback at that time?
It was Steve Bono.
Steve Bono.
Or Rich Gannon, whoever you wanted to put in there.
Elvis Gerbach, whatever. It wasn't.
Or Elvis Gerbach.
It wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback. It wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback. It don't even matter who it was. It wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback, okay? So the Broncos had a Hall of Fame quarterback with a good running game in Terrell Davis. And Elway, a Hall of Fame quarterback, won you a Super Bowl, okay? Fast forward. First year Peyton Manning was the quarterback of the Broncos. The Broncos went to the Super Bowl. They got blown out by the Seahawks. But they made it to the Super Bowl. Who was their quarterback?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
What kind of year did he have?
He had an outstanding year.
Record for touchdown passes. And threw for 5,000 yards. And what did they have? They had a super high-flying offense with Peyton Manning. And they then made it to the Super Bowl and got blown out. You see a trend here? The Broncos, those two Super Bowls, one they won, one they lost, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now, when they won their most recent Super Bowl, Bronco fans will go, well, we had Peyton, but he wasn't that good. In fact, he had been benched. Well, this adds to my argument even more about the Chiefs this year. So, you had a Hall of Fame quarterback, the last Super Bowl you won as a Bronco fan, and you had a dominant, state-of-the-art, first-class defense that carried Peyton Manning, correct?
Yes.
The Chiefs have a dominating, all-world-class offense that's better than maybe everybody in the league except the Rams, which right now they're probably better than the Rams, statistically. So the Broncos had an offense that wasn't very good with Peyton Manning the last time they made the Super Bowl, but had a dominant defense.
Yeah.
The one of the top defenses in the National Football League, and they rode that to a Super Bowl. The Chiefs haven't had a Hall of Fame quarterback since Lynn Dawson, which was the last time they won a Super Bowl. See the connection again? The Chiefs now have a quarterback certainly capable of being a Hall of Famer. Not saying he will be, but he's certainly capable. Off to a pretty good start. Who's on pace to throw for 50 touchdowns. Tell me quickly, who was the last quarterback to throw for 50 touchdowns in a season?
Peyton Manning,
with
I think.
The
Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos. Manning threw for over 5,000 yards that year. Mahomes is on pace to throw for over 5,000 yards this year. you see the resemblances between the two. Now, that Bronco team that had the juggernaut offense, and the Chiefs have more weapons than that Bronco offense had then.
Oh, yeah.
But they had Peyton Manning. And the Broncos offense carried them to the Super Bowl that year, and they got blown out in the Super Bowl. But they made it to the Super Bowl with an awesome offense, but they didn't win it. With an awesome defense, a few years later, they did win it all with a subpar offense. The Chiefs have a subpar defense, no question. They have one of the greatest offenses right now statistically of all time in National Football League history, right up there with the Broncos when Manning threw for over 50 touchdowns. So there's so many similarities. So when Bronco fans sit here and they tell me right away, well, it's the Chiefs. Yeah, you guys always start fast, and then you flounder in the playoffs. You are absolutely 1,000% correct. The Chiefs do that. But here's the thing. Who were those quarterbacks when the Chiefs floundered in the playoffs?
Bono, Gerback, Trent Green, because his defense was
horrible.
Horrendous.
Right.
And Alex Smith.
Trent Green's not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, and Trent Green,
and
when they
Smith.
Backed into the playoffs in 2006 or whatever year it was.
So what you have here, why is this year different? Bronco fans and everybody else out there in America listening, why is this year different? This year's different because of one person. It is the most important position in all of sports. It's quarterback. Go back and look at who's won the Super Bowl the last 20 years, and only a two or three didn't have a franchise Super Bowl Hall of Fame caliber quarterback.
But they had amazing defenses.
Right. That's the only ones you can come up with. The Baltimore Ravens, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Denver Broncos. Those are the only three you can come up with over all that span of time. You got Brady winning a ton of them. You got Rodgers winning one. You got Roethlisberger. They're all Hall of Famers. Eli Manning will be a Hall of Famer, even though he's not having a great year this year, last couple years. Peyton Manning is a Hall of Famer. Okay, all the Chiefs quarterbacks during that time, not Hall of Famers. Chiefs never had a dominant defense that whole time, except back in the 90s when they had Gerback. They did have a really good defense, and the defense did its job, but the Chiefs could only muster 10 points in a playoff game against the Broncos. And, oh yeah, they could miss three field goals by Lynn Elliott.
7 points against
the Colts. And seven against the Colts. So the defense was good enough those years to get to a Super Bowl and win one. The offense just didn't do quite enough. And it's not their fault. It's Carl Peterson's fault that they had a kicker they should have cut few weeks before that, who missed two extra points against the Raiders, that, hello, you can't have this guy in the playoffs. That's on Carl Peterson. That's on the, not on the Chiefs' defense or the offense, although technically the offense didn't do enough. This year's team is different, and here's why. The Chiefs, as long as they win a playoff game at home at Arrowhead, the Broncos' argument, the fans' argument of, well, it's just another same old thing. Chiefs start out great, and they're going to choke in the playoffs. Your argument is invalid once the Chiefs win a playoff game at home this year. Your argument becomes invalid. However, if the Chiefs do lose in the first round, or whatever round it is, first round, division round, wild card round, at home, then your argument will carry over for a full year. You got to use it over and over and over. The only caveat to that would be if the Chiefs make the AFC title game and, like I said, have a huge lead, and they blow that lead, and then you can hear it already. Ah, there you go. Chiefs choked. You had Mahomes. You said Mahomes is going to save the day, guys. And he couldn't save the day. Like, well, you know, Mahomes threw for 482 yards, and we lost 50-47. Don't know how that's Mahomes' fault, but hey, I get the point. The defense sucks. Okay? That could happen. It could be Patriots-Chiefs at Arrowhead, 50-47. It was 43-40 in New England. It's not far-fetched to think that could happen, okay? But the reason this year's Chiefs team is different than previous Chiefs installments is very simple. Just like the Broncos with John Elway, just like the Broncos when they lost in the Super Bowl to Seahawks with Peyton Manning, the Broncos have been spoiled. The Broncos have had the Hall of Fame quarterback that they traded for, didn't draft, traded for, developed in John Elway, and they deserve all the credit in the world because they went out, they got their quarterback, they developed him, he became a Hall of Famer. Huh, what did the Chiefs do? They traded up, they got their quarterback, they're developing him just like the Broncos did with John Elway. Elway led them to a couple Super Bowls and more than one couple, but he won one, okay? He finally won one, and it helped when he finally had a running game towards the end of his career. He was still a really good quarterback. Then the Broncos had to go pick up Peyton Manning.
They won the dang lottery.
They won the lottery. And I still say to this day, if Scott Pioli wasn't the general manager of the Chiefs, that would have been a much better, bigger battle for Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Manning would have chose the Chiefs, because I think the Elway factor was really big in that. Mm-hmm. But the Broncos have not won a Super Bowl without a Hall of Fame quarterback. And it's not enough.
They haven't really been good without a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Exactly.
I mean, I think this guy right next to us can attest to that.
And the Chiefs, on the other hand, have been really good with pedestrian or slightly above average decent quarterbacks, Alex Smith, Trent Green, so forth and so on. But they have never had that franchise quarterback. The Broncos have been spoiled. They've had Elway. They've had for a long time. They had Peyton Manning towards the end of his career, and they made it to two Super Bowls with Peyton and won one when the defense was dominant. The defense was dominant. Well, the Chiefs' offense is dominant. So there's so many similarities. When Bronco fans want to poo-poo the Chiefs and make fun of them, this and that, what they don't realize is the Chiefs are a lot like the Broncos from the standpoint of the Chiefs are doing what the Broncos did. They developed, they drafted, or traded for, or traded up, whatever they did in the draft to get their quarterback. They found him and turned the keys over and eventually won a Super Bowl. Now, that's what the Chiefs have to do. They haven't done that yet because this is Mahomes' first year as a starter. But they have plenty of time to do that. At least you think so, because he should be a quarterback in this league for 10 to 15 years. And Bronco fans right now are jealous. And guess what? Us Chiefs fans were extremely jealous when every single time the Chiefs go to Mile High and the Chiefs are winning and 2 minutes to go and that dang Elway every time would ruin everything for Chiefs fans. Well, guess what? Bronco fans got a big taste of it the last time the Chiefs went to Denver, because for once in Bronco fans' life, they were on the other side of it, and it sucked, didn't it? And that's why Bronco fans make fun of Mahomes and his voice, and he's a cocky guy, because you're jealous. And I get it, because we've been there. We made fun of Elway's teeth, okay? I get it. He looks like a horse. Okay. We get it.
Perfect
if,
fit.
If you were on one side of it, it's so funny. The whole thing is flipped now. The Chiefs fans were like, yeah, okay, you make the Super Bowl, but you'll lose the Super Bowl like you always do. That was the talk Elway finally won one. I remember. I think I probably used it. Oh, well, okay, great. Well, Chiefs, yeah, great. We don't win playoff games. I get it. Well, you don't win Super Bowls, so what's the point? Well, then the Broncos finally won one. I couldn't use that argument anymore.
Right.
Okay? Then you got Peyton Manning. Well, I couldn't use much of an argument there. The greatest, maybe the greatest quarterback that ever lived. But now, you've got an argument, Bronco fans, that Chiefs fans had back in the day with Elway. Well, you're great, but you can't win the big one. Well, that's what you're basically saying now, Bronco fans. You're great during the regular season, but you can't win the big one in the playoffs, and you can't do this, can't do that, you'll choke. And the Chiefs had much more choking in their history in the playoffs than the Broncos, no question, in regards to how the Chiefs find ways to lose. Just see last year against Tennessee. But this is an opportunity for Chiefs football to shut up those Bronco fans and many other fans out there that are like, well, this is a sweet story, but the Chiefs always end up losing and choking in the playoffs. This year, I believe, is different because they have the most important position covered for the first time since they had Lynn Dawson as their quarterback. And by the way, the Chiefs won a Super Bowl with Lynn Dawson. The only Hall of Fame quarterback the Chiefs ever had, Lynn Dawson, and they won a Super Bowl. If Mahomes is a Hall of Fame quarterback, the Chiefs will win a Super Bowl during his time. If he is. We don't know yet, but he is the difference. Do you think the Chiefs will be up 21-3 against the Tennessee Titans in the divisional round of the playoffs this year? And do you think the Chiefs are going to go super conservative with Patrick Mahomes in the second half? I'm going to say no. I know there's a chance with Andy Reid, but I'm going to say no because of what Mahomes can do. And he keeps his eyes downfield, and he won't be worried about turning it over like Alex Smith was. And there you have why this year's team is different, because you have an elite, maybe right now. Right now, he might be the best quarterback in the National Football League. I'm not saying he is, but he's one of the best. And statistically, he's on pace to be the MVP, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. And you have an MVP at quarterback, you got a really good chance to make the Super Bowl despite how crappy your defense is. And it isn't very good. But if it gets better, and based on how it played the other day, and the Chiefs' defense has played much better at Arrowhead this year, they're a different defense at home, then the Chiefs' home field advantage will finally mean something this year.
Yeah,
and by the way, people like, well, they'll lose to this team or this team. There's only two teams. Put me on the record and copy it down. There are only two teams the Chiefs can lose to in the playoffs this year in the AFC. There's only two teams that worry me. Only two teams in AFC are capable against this Chiefs offense, and I know a bad defense. There's only two teams AFC that are capable of going in the Arrowhead and beating them in the playoffs. And that's the two that we always talk about, the Patriots and the Steelers. Because there's, do you think Baltimore can keep pace with the Chiefs?
No.
Jacksonville obviously can't. You think the Dolphins can? No. You think the Broncos can? No. And the Broncos probably won't make the playoffs. The Chargers, they make mistakes. They ain't going to be able to do it. They got an offense that's good. Yeah. The Chargers always choke, and they're a team that's going to have to go to Arrowhead, and they have no success there. So there's only two teams you got to worry about. So as long as you avoid the Steelers or the Patriots in the divisional round, you're going to win that game. And you're going to go to the NFC title game and hopefully be at Arrowhead against either, probably, the Steelers or the Patriots. Now, am I going to say the Chiefs win that game? At that time, I may. But I'm not going to say it now. I'm not telling you the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl this year. I'm not telling you they're going to win it all with Mahomes. But I'm not telling you they can't. Not telling you they won't. But just because they don't make the Super Bowl, but they get the AFC title game this year, that, to me, ends the argument. Well, the Chiefs always choke in the playoffs. It's just the same old thing. Those meaningless wins in November, or not November, October and September. That would change the narrative. Now, you really want to shut people up, make it to the Super Bowl. You don't have to win it. You don't have to win it. You make it. You make it. And then Bronco fans make fun of you. Well, Mahomes had this great record, and he was MVP, and he was unbelievable, but he didn't win a Super Bowl. Go, well, then I guess Manning sucks. Because Manning had that great year, and they lost 43-8 in the Super Bowl. So just be prepared for these arguments if these things happen. Because honestly, the only way you can completely shut up people, and that still won't work, is win a Super Bowl. Then Cowboy fans, well, we got more Super Bowls than you do. I don't care. I'm worried about now. Well, we Denver Broncos got more Super Bowls than the Chiefs do. Don't care. Do you think I care the Yankees have 25,000 more World Series championships than the Royals? Nope. Who's won the most recent championship between the two franchises? That would be my Royals. Don't care. Okay? My team won a championship. I don't care how many you had in your history. My argument isn't worried about the greatest team in sports history. I don't care about that. What's the best team in sports now? What team that I follow, have they won a championship? I think Bronco fans are pretty proud to thump their chest, and rightfully so. Hey, we won Super Bowls with Elway and Manning. Now, if you didn't have those two guys, you probably wouldn't have won Super Bowls, okay? Probably not. But that's the point. The Chiefs now have that guy. That is capable of doing it. They've never had that guy since 1969. I wasn't born yet. None of us were.
None of us were.
Yeah. It was before iPads and iPods and Apple phones.
Yeah.
Indoor plumbing was questionable for some places at that time. I mean, we're going way back. So,
you know,
all I got to say, Bronco fans, don't rain on our parade. Win, whether it's this year, next year, 3 years from now, and maybe it'll never happen. But if it does ever happen, and the Chiefs are having their parade, winning a Super Bowl, and your Bronco fan wants to get smart with a, I might be going to jail because I'm gonna slap him across the face. Because listen, you've just got to stand back and say, you know what? Respect.
Are you threatening me?
You finally got it. Congratulations to you.
Are you threatening me?
You know?
Are you threatening me?
I got Yankee fans I know that have been totally, completely cool. The Royals win the World Series. Like, well, you deserve it. You went through 29 years of misery.
Yeah.
They some of them get it. They're like, well, congratulations. Well, what do you think Chiefs fans are going through? That's worse than the Royals. They won a Super Bowl since January of 1970. We're talking 48 years. That's worse than the Royals, except the Royals, of course, didn't make the playoffs 29 years, where the Chiefs have made the playoffs. But the Chiefs haven't even made it to the Super Bowl, let alone win it, since January of 1970. So don't do it, Bronco fans, Cowboy fans, or any of you fans, not Chiefs fans. Don't rain on our parade when Patrick Mahomes takes us to the promised land. And I know, if he doesn't, you're going to make fun of me. I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that. You know, I'm going to try not to rain on the Chiefs fans parade, because all of us that are not Chiefs fans are counting on the Chiefs to rain on their own parade.
Right. I know you are, but I'm saying this year's different.
It is different. And the quarterback is all the difference in the world. You know, it absolutely is. In fact, I just had somebody ask me last night how I felt about, you know, the Chiefs being as good as they are this year. And I said, hey, man, it's cool that the Chiefs are good. Good for them. It's exciting for them. They're fun to watch. I've watched them a few times. And then I said, but also, I don't want them to win the Super Bowl.
Well, of course you don't.
All the talking points that you just mentioned all go by the wayside. I mean, well, we're 3 for our last 4. We've been relevant this century. But what else can you come up with? You know, the Raz game goes up in smoke if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and that's no fun for anybody but Chiefs fans.
Kate says Joe Montana. Joe Montana was on the very end of his career, who was almost 40 years old, who was injury prone. I don't count Joe Montana. Yeah. He was a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback when he was playing for the Chiefs. He played well enough to get them to the AFC title game against the Bills and then got knocked out of that game. But I don't really count that because he was only there for a couple of years.
Joe Montana was slightly better at that time than Manning was when they won the Super Bowl. You know? And when you talk about the Chiefs always going to Denver and losing, I can't remember any of those wins, but I definitely remember the game when Montana was the quarterback that Denver lost.
Exactly.
That's the one you remember.
Yeah.
As a Broncos fan.
That was the night where I was like, wow, it felt like winning the Super Bowl. Like, finally we got a quarterback that can beat Elway in Denver. I remember that game where I was exactly. That was how
big it was. Didn't even make the playoffs that year.
And they didn't even make the playoffs. Neither team made the playoffs that year, if I remember right. So, because the Broncos really struggled going in.
Neither one of them.
Oh, wow. So, anyway, I'm fired up about it. And, you know, like I said, I mean, and I'll say the same thing I said last year when Alex Smith was a quarterback. And it's technically true today. And I think this is what Bronco fans are saying. And I get it. Trust me, I get it. We'll believe it when we see it. Dusty always says that. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, I believe it's going to happen to where the Chiefs are not going to lose in the first round at Arrowhead. Now, like I said, I could lose the AFC title game. There's no foul in losing at home in the AFC title game because there's teams that lose at home in the AFC-NFC title game all the time. It's not like this never happens, okay, because you got the best of the best. It's the best 4 teams that are left when you make the AFC-NFC title game. But like I said last year, this is great the Chiefs are 6-1. I said it on social media when they're 5-0. This is all great and all. But I said I'm more worried about what we do in January. Because for me, it isn't about going 14-2 or 15-1. It's not even about number one seed in the playoffs, although that would be helpful. To me, it's about how you play in January. And can this offense keep rolling like it's been all the way through 7 games so far and do this in the playoffs? And when the weather gets colder? I don't know. And until I see it, I can't truly believe it. I believe it's going to happen. I believe in it. But I can't tell you without a shadow of a doubt I'm super, super, super confident the Chiefs are going to roll to the Super Bowl because they haven't done it. And so while the 6-1 start is beautiful and nice and fun to watch, if the Chiefs lose in the divisional round of the playoffs at Arrowhead, Bronco fans would be right. It didn't mean anything starting 6-1. They would be right. It hurts me to say that, but they would be right in that situation, as would any other fan. All right, back to what we were talking about earlier. We mentioned the Chiefs, and one little nugget to close out that part of our show, and that is, Cade said, we were mentioning how the Chiefs have never had a Hall of Fame quarterback since Lynn Dawson in regards to winning a Super Bowl. Oddly enough, the last Hall of Fame quarterback the Chiefs had, our last time the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback in Lynn Dawson. And Cade asked about Joe Montana, and yes, Joe Montana, Hall of Fame quarterback, and that helps my argument a little bit more, too. The last time the Chiefs won a playoff game at Arrowhead, they had to have a Hall of Fame quarterback, which was Joe Cool. Montana. So what I'm trying to say here is the Chiefs need a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback to get them in the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, or let's just start small, win a playoff game at Arrowhead. And that was January of 1994 when I was a senior in high school. The last time the Chiefs won a home playoff game at Arrowhead. Joe Montana in the twilight of his career with the touchdown pass to Tim Barnett. And they go into overtime and they beat the Steelers, of all people, in that wild card round. Then they would go to Houston and upset Buddy Ryan and the Oilers. And then they went to Buffalo. And the Chiefs were going to go to the Super Bowl. And Joe Montana got knocked out of the game early in the first quarter with a concussion. And that was all she wrote. Dave Craig came in. Chiefs had no chance from then on out. So, yes, you might wonder if Montana played that whole game against Buffalo in that championship game, maybe they would have made it to the Super Bowl. So the last time the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback. Last time the Chiefs won a home playoff game, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback. So what I'm trying to tell you is if the Chiefs are ever going to win a home playoff game or ever win another Super Bowl, they have to have a Hall of Fame quarterback. And the way he started so far, I know it's early, but if he stays healthy, there's no reason to think that Patrick Mahomes can't be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if he keeps up anywhere near the pace, I mean, he wouldn't even have to keep doing what he's been doing.
No.
He's ahead of the curve right now.
Way ahead.
You know, he's paving the road to Canton like about 4 or 5 miles out in front of him right now. Now, he might eventually catch up to that. You might have to sit for a while in the construction zone, you know, as this thing moves forward. But, man, if this guy can even be 75% of what he's been over the course of the next 8 to 10 years, yeah, put him in.
Where do you go from here if you're Mahomes? Your first year as a starter, you get MVP, and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. It's like, what do? You go to Disneyland, I get that. But then what do you do? Oh, because all of a sudden, your first year as a starter, like, it's not supposed to be that easy. And I'm not saying it's going to be that easy, but right. What if? I mean, what gets you motivated going in the next year?
Ask Tom Brady.
Yeah, because Brady didn't do it at 23.
No,
and Mahomes would be 23.
No, it was a first-year starter. Though,
and Brady had to wait a while before he got his shot.
Had to wait his turn.
Mahomes only had to wait a year.
True.
And you wonder then, does Mahomes become a little bit cocky or gets a big head if he's MVP and they win the Super Bowl in his first year as a starter? Where's the motivation going next year? And then if you paint that scenario, and then let's say things go south and he's not focused and he's all into the appearances and he's big into Hollywood and everything else, and the Chiefs never get back there, and he doesn't have a Hall of Fame career because he gets hurt or he doesn't play well the rest of his career, but Chiefs fans could still say, that was the greatest quarterback we ever had, because, or at least the greatest season a quarterback ever had for the Chiefs was what Mahomes did his first year as a starter. It would be a weird scenario. I don't think that would happen, but weirder things have happened in sports.
From what I'm seeing so far, this guy becoming full of himself and becoming an egotistical case that ends up hurting his team is not one of the lists of the things I would have on my list of concerns as a Chiefs fan. I mean, we talked about this several weeks ago when I called out some people that were talking about this cocky Mahomes. I'm like, what broadcast have you guys been watching? Right. You know, where does it go? But yeah.
But if you have too much success early, if you have too much success early and it comes pretty easy, then you almost get a little overconfident going, well, I did this. It wasn't that hard.
Right.
And then you realize, I'll go back to Dan Marino over and over.
Easy is a relative term, too.
Dan Marino, well, he makes it look easy. Yeah. Dan Marino thought he'd be going to the Super Bowl many times after he made it early in his career. Yeah. Never made it back. And he said since then, I didn't enjoy that whole year as much as I should have because I thought, well, I didn't enjoy the Super Bowl as much as I thought of because I was young and it was easy. And next thing you know, it became very hard, and they never made it back to the Super Bowl. So you can have that situation where you have a great start to your career, and everything goes great, and you may or may not win a Super Bowl. But let's say Mahomes, you know, tears up his shoulder next year.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be a Hall of Famer, more than likely.
Yeah, it's all a matter of where things average out, because the chances that Patrick Mahomes is going to continue to play at the level game after game, week after week, year after year that
highly
he has
unlikely.
Is highly unlikely. The key is where do you find the balance?
Yeah.
And the whole thing is going to come back around at some point, and you're going to have your struggles. Everything's been gravy for these guys. I mean, it's just been he gets thrown in there in the starting lineup, and boom, it all comes together and it all works out. You just got to try to not let it fall off any more than possible, because the idea that the things are going to remain as relatively easy, like you said before, and as successful as they've been is not likely. There's going to be some bumps in the road. It's just a matter of how they respond to that.
On pace for 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and 11 interceptions, to even it out, as Chad just said, would be what, 35 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions and only 4,200 yards?
Yeah, that's
I'll take that every year for the rest of his career.
Exactly.
I'm cool with that. Aren't you, Dusty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not the greatest color commentator in the league for nothing, folks. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Okay, so we'll see if the Chiefs can do it. We got a long way to go. We're not even quite to the halfway point NFL season. Chiefs have started like this before, and they have floundered. And Bronco fans, you are correct when you say that. I'm just telling you, this year is different. I believe it's different. I think a lot of people, you can get the feeling it's different. But the Chiefs have to go prove in January. It doesn't matter if the Chiefs win the rest of their games and go 15-1. They're all going to be judged on January on whether or not this year is different for the Chiefs. Which leads me into the KU basketball team. How is KU judged every year? Well, they're judged on, did they win another Big 12 title? Yeah, that's nice and all. But KU's won 14 straight Big 12 titles. How many national championships during that span? One. So Kansas is judged in what they do in March, correct? You hear it all the time with KU fan, people that are not KU fans. Well, that's great and all. You guys got number one seed. You're gonna choke. You're going to get upset in the tournament. And you're the favorite. And you're going to flounder under the pressure. And yeah, it was great. You went 37-4. and you lost in the Sweet 16. That is a fair argument. But it is unfair to the team when you have such a great year and then you don't make it to the Final Four or win the national championship because of the expectations at Kansas. And you could have an unbelievable year, which KU did that one year when they lost to Arizona Sweet 16, where they had only two losses all year. But one of them was in the Sweet 16. Thus, it was a bitter disappointment. Well, Kansas is setting themselves up for bitter disappointment again, as KU is the number one team in America, according to the AP Top 25 preseason poll. KU is number one. Kentucky is number two. Gonzaga, three. Duke is four. KU getting 37 of the first place votes, not even close to unanimous. So there's a lot of teams that are capable of winning this thing this year. Kansas picked number one by the AP. The previous two times that KU has been picked preseason number one in the AP, want to take a guess how it ended?
Second round?
Not well. The last time was Northern Iowa in the second round.
Nice.
So if you're a KU fan, you might be a little bit apprehensive. Cautiously optimistic when KU is the number one. You'd almost rather be number two and let Kentucky be number one in the preseason because preseason doesn't mean anything.
Or you could be like me and just not care or pay any attention to whatsoever to what the preseason poll says.
And the polls in basketball don't mean nearly as much as they do football. So in football, they don't mean as much as they once did either. All right, David Beatty, speaking of football, KU, is he dead man walking?
Yes.
Hasn't he been dead man walking since Shane Zinger got fired?
Yes.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Listen, KU over the weekend, we said this last week.
It is what it is.
You're right, and I like you being short to the point since we're short on time. Well done, Chad. David Beatty, we talked about this last week, and it was easy to predict if you follow KU football. Okay, he can't handle game management of the clock or handle timeouts or figure out if he wants to go for it on fourth down or not before he became the play caller. He fires his offensive coordinator. Yeah. He says, well, I'll be the final say on the play calling, and things are going to run through me. And he's got some input from people up in the box through his headset. And then David Beatty does the same thing he does all the time. He can't process things quick enough on the sideline. And that's why I said this isn't going to be any better. In fact, I thought it'd be worse. It was worse. It was worse at Texas Tech. I mean, you get a first and goal at the two. Your defense did its job against Texas Tech. It got you turnovers. And the reason Beatty said he fired Doug Meacham was, well, we got to capitalize and get more points off of turnovers. Well, first game under David Beatty, the KU Jayhawks got three turnovers and a total of 3 points. One point per turnover is not going to be good enough to win in any conference. First and goal at the two, they settle for a field goal. They had first down and goal inside at the eight. Puka Williams fumbles. Two different times in this game, David Beatty, you got to know that. I don't know if David Beatty realizes this. Fourth down comes after third down. So
every time.
When you're every time. Unless you get a first down.
Right.
But if you're third down and you got third down, you should already be thinking, okay, look at our field position. I think we got two downs to get these 8 yards. So you run a play that might not be designed to get 8 yards on third down so that you set yourself up with a fourth and short. And if you get the first down, then you don't have a decision to make. Mm-hmm. But David Beatty apparently needs to call a timeout almost every single time that situation arises. And then the crazy thing about it is he calls the timeout. You're like, okay, all right. They need time to come up with a great play to get fourth down. And he sends out the punting unit. Note to David Beatty, if you're going to punt the football, take the 5-yard delay a game penalty and save your timeouts and just punt.
Just punt it.
Or when you call a timeout on fourth down, go for it.
Yeah. Either way, just go. If you're going to spend that timeout, use it. You don't need to call a timeout to punt. Like you said, what's 5 yards on a delay game penalty? But one quick thought. When I heard the news that Shane Zinger was done as athletic director of Kansas, the question in my mind wasn't what's going to happen to David Beatty. The question in my mind is who's the next coach at Kansas?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's really that simple.
And it is also simple. I don't think it really matters who your offensive coordinator is at Kansas until they come up with a good quarterback, until they recruit a good, solid quarterback.
Right.
It doesn't matter if Doug Meacham, David Beatty, Chad Hallock, Dusty Dynas, Wade Gershner, Charlie Weiss, Todd Haley. I don't care what offensive coordinator you have. They're not going to have a lot of success. No. The only thing you got going for you, you got Puka Williams. That's all you got on offense. And you're wasting some good performances and efforts by your defense. And the recruiting class coming in for David Beatty is not looking good. Kids have decommitted already. Another reason why David Beatty is dead man walking. All right, 2018 World Series, who wins and why? Well, here's Dave Roberts to talk about the Dodgers. They're the underdogs, game one tonight in Boston.
I like the underdog role, but I do know that everyone in our clubhouse doesn't see it as icing on the cake. It's been our goal since last year to win a World Series, so it's a good club over there. We still like our guys, and it's going to be a good one, and they're going to get everything we have.
Here's Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, about the matchup.
They got two different lineups against lefties, against righties. Their rotation is pretty solid. They got a great closer. It's a tough team, relentless. They got a few guys there. You know, JT has been amazing at third base and in the clubhouse. Manny Machado is back. We're going to see him again. It's a complete team.
Red Sox the favorite to win it. All right, time for our quick predictions. Chad and I are here. Dusty's interviewing coaches right now. I'll take the Red Sox in six.
I got the Red Sox in five.
Red Sox
quick
in
series.
Five. I've got my neighbor's a Dodger fan. He picked the Red Sox in five. So he's that confident about that. So the World Series game one tonight, 7:09 on Fox. It will be a battle of aces. Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. Chris Sale for the Red Sox. Should be a good one tonight. The Oakland Raiders have traded Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys gave up a first-round draft pick for Amari Cooper. Cooper has been very underachieving in his career at Oakland, especially the last couple years. It looks like the Raiders having a fire sale with some of their better players, trading them, getting rid of them. Will Derek Carr be next? The Raiders paid $100 million for John Gruden, and this is what they get, a team that's won one game, and they're cleaning house. But I don't know why the Cowboys gave up a first-round pick for Cooper. I think that was too much. Mm-hmm. Also, a quick note before we end the show here. LeBron James made his debut for the Lakers the other night, and they lost to the Rockets. But the story wasn't about LeBron James after the game, believe it or not. It was the fight. If you didn't see it, Rajon Rondo with a apparently spit at Chris Paul after Brandon Ingram lost his mind and shoved James Harden. Ingram got a technical. Next thing you know, Paul puts his finger near Rondo's eye. Rondo starts flailing with punches, and Paul responds, and then Ingram comes in with a sucker punch. Well, the end result, Ingram is suspended 4 games. Paul, 2 games. Rondo, 3 games. So LeBron, with back in action, the Lakers looking for their first win of the season with LeBron on their team. Lakers at home against the Spurs. It was pretty exciting, and LeBron comes through at the end of regulation.
Rebound Hart. Hart ahead to LeBron.
Lakers need a three.
The Lakers are not calling timeout. 5 seconds remaining. LeBron for three in the tie. Good! LeBron James from 25 feet away ties the game at 128.
But LeBron missed a couple free throws when the Lakers were up one in overtime, and then it set up the Spurs dramatics.
DeRozan will get it in. DeMar DeRozan out to LaMarcus Aldridge, left of the key. Hands to Mills. Shot is on the way, and good! It's a two-pointer for Patty Mills with 6.8 seconds remaining in the game. The Spurs have taken the lead, 143 to 142.
LeBron got the ball, last shot to win in overtime, and he missed. Here's an interesting nugget. LeBron James missed 2 free throws with 12 seconds left last night in overtime, and the Lakers up one. In the final 15 seconds of the fourth quarter in overtime, LeBron is 10 for 21, 48% on free throws in one-score games since the start of last season. That's the worst free throw percentage of any player with at least 10 free throw attempts in those situations. So that's how you stop LeBron. You foul him and let him have a free shot from 15 feet. Finally, we figured out how to stop LeBron James. It's called Hack a LeBron. Have a good day.